I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Huntley will just drive it up the middle, and that's all she wrote. With their season hanging in the balance, the Baltimore Ravens get the win over the Chicago Bears, 30-16, snapping the Bears' four-game winning streak.
Courtesy of CBS Sports, Monday Morning Quarterback on the Fan. Ravens with a big win yesterday. Season is still hanging in the balance, but one step closer with a 30-16 win after the bye. Tyler Huntley showed up and showed out, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, he did. Look, there's a lot of things you can look at this game. I thought the defense kind of let him settle in, but he didn't make any mistakes. You could look at a couple throws and say maybe you'd like to have that back, but when all said and done, and you manage the game the way he did, and he made some plays too. Give him credit.
Yeah.
There were some big third down throws he made, and I want to say this because people won't do it when they go. Sunday watching that game, I was bitching about the play calling that was working out. So, like on first down, and then where are you throwing it? Oh, okay. There's Charlie Kohler. I didn't see him. I didn't know he was going that way. You know what I mean? But like Huntley was really good for what was asked of him.
Hey, Mike and Preston.
Yes,
they played smash mouth football down the goal line.
Hey, they got the message. You know,
running back that just passed the Hall of Famer in touchdown?
Yeah, when you have a 256-pound running back, you run him. It's not very hard to figure out, and they did what they had to do to win. But more importantly, it's a win. If you want to go on a winning streak and you talk about it, win one game. As I mentioned Friday, win a game. And then you go from there. So before you can even talk about a streak, just win the first game. Now you can talk about a streak.
Four carries for 43 yards in the special teams section. Two returns, averaging 33 yards of return. Welcome back, Keaton Mitchell, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, it was good to see him. I got to admit, there were sometimes though watching the game, like Derrick Henry got 21 carries, and I still feel like it wasn't enough while you're watching the game. I think a lot of them came down in that goal line area. That's why the numbers weren't higher. But when it came to Keaton Mitchell, like this feels like something that should have been. Yeah, they should have been on the roster since the beginning of the season, and I understand it. It's a numbers game when you're looking at it, and you got Justice Hill. Who do you like better as a kickoff returner? Where are you putting these guys?
Why do the numbers work down then?
I know. But again, but he adds something that nobody else brings from that position, and that's that explosive speed. You watch him take that little speed, if you want to call it a sweep, whatever it is, and he's going outside, and you're looking at it going, yeah, that guy ain't getting him. He's got the corner.
Yeah.
And you saw that on the one big play he had.
We need a returner. Well, let him return. Outstanding performance by Roquan in the defense, Mike Preston.
I thought he was okay. I didn't think he was great. I love Mike. I mean, especially in the first quarter. I mean, he was just getting steamrolled.
He had some big hits
in
the second, right?
It's the role. It's the rust where you come out and you don't play for two, three games. Then you got to get back in and get moving. But by the end of the halftime, he was starting to play well. And let's go back to Keaton Mitchell. I wrote this two or three weeks ago. Put him in the game and just let him take the toss. And whether he gains anything or not, open up your offense and keep the teams spread.
Run, Keaton, run.
Mike, isn't it the same thing as throwing the ball deep and even if you don't complete it, they got to respect it?
Oh, you're kidding me. How about that?
And if you're bringing him to the outside and you're giving that speed out, they have to respect that out there, which opens up other things as well.
It just, you know, I know you can defend Monken, and he deserves it in a way, especially after the beating he took last week and some of the stuff that was
which just, I thought was unjust.
Yeah, it just wasn't right. But he needed to open it up, and you got to take some gambles. And with this team, especially when you're playing with two backup quarterbacks, that's what you do. And you come up with some creative ways, and they finally did that, even though it was against the Bears.
John Harbaugh now 15-3 after the bye week. You cannot ignore that. That is, it's one of the best records after the bye currently in the National Football
League. Only one better is Andy Reid.
Any coach, yeah. And Andy Reid does what? win Super Bowl. Yeah. So you can't.
Harbaugh came from where?
Andy Reid. So you can't only criticize John Harbaugh without praising him. That says a team comes back ready to play after having a week off.
I think the big telling thing for me, and I know I talk gambling way more than anybody else here, and for you
people, a little bit.
For you people out there that
what do you mean you people?
I'm in a room with two black guys saying you people, and I'm not even talking about black people. Oh, no. But if you look at it, to find out how much the NFL has been in bed with gambling and all these other sports leagues, those injury reports have to come out.
If you don't know, Baltimore, you're fitting to find out.
Yeah, I mean, you need to look is the NBA now, finding out where all these illegal poker games are going on and who was shaving points. But the thing that happened over the weekend, remember, when Lamar... We weren't sure if he was going to play against the Rams. I think people questioned that he wouldn't. The line moved 11.5 points. Now you're coming off your bye week. And yes, you're getting Roquan back. It doesn't move the needle on the point spread the way you think. Yes, you're getting Patrick Ricard back. Doesn't move the point spread. It dropped 4 points. And it just kind of tells you like what they were. I feel like this was a puffy pants game. If Lamar played, they were going to just blow them out. And granted, they handled business, but I think the Nate Wiggins play really kind of just separated them there, and you get those points, and then now you're kind of just sitting on it waiting for the game to end.
410-583-1057 is the number. Monday Morning Quarterback. Week 8, almost in the books. One game tonight. The Baltimore Ravens advanced to 2-5 on the year. Both wins, home wins for the season. And now with a Thursday night football game, all the talk is going to be of Lamar Jackson. Do you, Mike, think it was a good decision for Lamar not to play, having a game right here on Thursday?
You slick.
This might be my favorite part of any show we've had this year. Just you ask the question and he just starts laughing like, you some bitch. What do you want to know? Go to the commercial break. I'll tell you everything.
I'm just curious.
This is what I think happened. Okay. And I don't know for sure because I can't get into the head of Lamar.
Of course not.
And that's impossible.
Jeremy.
Look at that big old, where'd you get that cauldron from? He over here stirring the pot. Look at Rob.
I think what happened was they thought he was going to play. I think they attempted to get him ready. And it's the one-upsmanship. That's the head coaches do this all the time. This is not the first time a head coach has done this. They just got caught. And then Saturday morning, they may have walked in, and Lamar Jackson may have said, I'm not playing. I would not put that by him. And I'm not saying it happened, but I would not put that by him to say, I'm not playing. But he will play Thursday because he's in Florida.
He's home. Not only is he in Florida, he's in Miami.
Yeah. So you know he's going to play. That's like death and taxes and a guarantee that Lamar's going to play in front of the home crowd and the relatives.
Can I ask something real quick to you? Do you think the defense has gotten much better, or is it just we need more time? It's one read after a bye week.
Here's my answer to that question. The Bears had 372 yards of total offense.
Okay. So there you go.
The
pass rush still isn't there. And by the way, I hate this thing in the league. If you're in the grasp or if you're intentionally grounding to avoid a sack, that player should get that damn sack.
Yeah, he should. I've said that for years, man.
I don't understand that. Let me throw it away. You don't get the sack. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, but there was a bad call where they called intentional grounding. The receiver started to go inside, and then he was going to go back out.
He had thrown the ball before. That's the
one I'm talking about.
Yeah, why do you make up that call? Yeah. This is crap.
And again, this is the big issue I have, and I know we're going to talk about it because I'm going to bring it up. The referees, when you get to the forward progress play with Marlon Humphrey, how do you tell me what a catch is, then tell me his forward progress was stopped when he didn't make a football move? He did not get to take another step. He caught, turned, and then got hit. And then if you want to say it's a 50-50 ball and the tie goes to the offense on the ground, he pulled that ball away from him. It never touched the ground. So the ball still has to be live. And they actually questioned on the broadcast, I think it was Sterator that came on, and he was like, yeah, JJ, I didn't think about that part of it. And then they come back and say it stands. Explain it. Yeah. How?
Like I thought it was a 50-50 ball. And when they hit the ground, they both had the ball. So it does go to the receiver. But
I'd have been fine with that.
If they had said it was an incomplete pass, I get that too, because he really didn't have control of it.
But if that's the case, he doesn't get the ball there where he got hit. He gets the ball where he finally completed it.
And the thing was they both go down to the ground, so it really wasn't an incomplete pass.
It never touched the ground. It doesn't touch the ground to be incomplete. Tyler Huntley gets the start. How'd he do? We'll talk about that at 6:30, but on the other side, three up, three down, right here on the Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday morning, quarterback Ravens with a big win, 30-16 over the Chicago Bears. They're now 2-5 over the year, ending a four-game losing streak. The Bears came in with a four-game winning streak. That's over there, 4-3 on the year. 3-out. Jeremy Kahn, what's your up?
My up goes to the guy we just talked about, the quarterback, Tyler Huntley. A lot of things you can point at this game to talk about being up because they win, how they won. Good things happening on both sides of the ball, but I think the defense helped him out and let him settle in with getting a couple of stops, and then, of course, with the running game and everything else that was going on, but he added into the running game as well. I thought Tyler Huntley played extremely well yesterday with all things considered.
What's your down?
My down is what we just talked about with the referees. I need some consistency around this damn league, and it's not about, I don't know how many times we hear, oh, with replay assist, we got this, and with replay assist... How come replay assist isn't working all the time? Why do you get to choose when you want it to work? I don't understand that. And again, going back to the play, they went to New York. How is this not uniform across the board? Yeah. We had the thing that happened with TJ Hockenson last week or 2 weeks ago where the ref told him it was a touchdown, said, yeah, and then New York told us it wasn't. Okay. Now we have a situation where a guy catches a pass and goes to turn and gets hit immediately. The ball never touches the ground. You tell me his forward progress is stopped. If you haven't made the catch, how can your forward progress be stopped? Mm-hmm. Like, how? And this is what bothers me about this league is that there's so much of this BS that goes on where it's like, do we know all the rules? Because even when they asked Gene Steratore about this play, he was like, whew, man, that's a tough one. Okay, then come out. Hey, after further review, man, that's a tough one. I don't even know what the hell to tell y'all. We're just going to go with what we called on the field. I'm listening to you, but that was trash, man.
My up, the energy at the bank, just sound loud. I think a lot of that energy was due because they came out playing well. You know, a slow start, but some great plays by your up, of course, Tyler Huntley, and then the defense, I thought, made good plays at times. And they hit a couple of big plays as well, and the crowd wanted that. The crowd was ready to erupt. And they gave him something to erupt about. My down, the handling of the injury report. Come on, man. I don't know whose fault it is. I'm not here to blame to play the blame game. I just know you can't handle it that way. It's just horrible.
You deserve to lose picks over that, even if it's something. Not your fault, man.
Yeah, you lose something. Either the player, coaches, whoever. You guys got to get on the same page.
Money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's the reason the injury report is not about you. It's about those guys that keep your league going. The gamblers. It's about them. They keep your league going, man. NFL Red Zone Channel, that's what it's for. It's for them. And the fantasy football people, who, by the way, is another form of gambling.
Yep.
You're betting on a player. It's nothing but player props. That's all it is, fantasy football. And you cannot manipulate that. And if you didn't know, you figured to find out. You finna find out. Ed, what's your up?
The running game finally appeared again. It's always been a hallmark. It makes for a very balanced attack. Yesterday, it was exactly balanced. It was 178 yards in the air, 177 yards on the ground. So 177 yards rushing, 5.1 yards a carry. Don't get much better than that.
How about Keith Mitchell?
Mitchell was great. And his speed is so, you know, on a field where everybody's faster than everybody you know. He's faster than them. I mean, he's noticeable. Yes, sir. You in the front.
So he had 10 yards rushing a carry. Mm-hmm. He had 33 yards every return. So why is there room for him now and there wasn't room for him before?
I said this to a child yesterday I was watching the game with. I said exactly that. Huh. Good to see him back. Now answer me why.
Yeah.
Like, why?
They needed a return specialist. He had 33 yards of return.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was lighting it up on the outside. Yes.
What's your down?
My down's a pass rush. Again. I mean, against a pretty bad team. You know, Mike Green comes up with the sack, very timely sack, but he comes up with the sack. Nothing. Again, there's just no pass rush. And, you know, and your favorite category, the quarterback hits. I don't see hurries in here, but I see hits, four hits. They can't generate a pass rush. And you're not going to win a lot of games against decent teams without a pass rush.
So. The new stat coming out, second thoughts. They made the quarterback have a second thought.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yeah. Audibles. The defense made them check down four times. They're audibles. It's just the dumbest. Put the quarterback on the ground, man. Up, Mike Preston. What's your up?
Nate Wiggins. You know, he had the interception in the fourth quarter, but he had some vicious hits where he was just knocking people down. He finished with seven tackles.
I really feel like there were some adjustments made by him because Rome was cooking on those first two drives, and it wasn't all him. Right. But I thought, like, as the game went on, you saw him just step up. And I know people are going to focus on the interception, but it was so much more than that.
Yeah. I mean, and he got better as the game went on where he was a little bit more daring. And press coverage and so forth. So I thought he played extremely well. My down, special teams. You really don't know what you're going to get with this group. I mean, Tyler Lube, he did his thing, and but their coverage unit, especially kickoff return or kickoff team, they gave up a 49-yarder yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, what's going on with these guys? Why are they so inconsistent?
Were you surprised at all they didn't go for what would have been like a 58-yard field goal? They went out and tried to act like draw them offsides?
I was a little surprised by that. And I was even more surprised they took the penalty.
Yeah.
Like, why?
They ended up punting, so maybe they just wanted a little bit more room. It worked out in the end. You got them at least to a good point. And then I think the Wiggins play right after that?
Yeah, shortly. Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Monday morning quarterback. The boys are back in town. The Baltimore Ravens on a short week. They begin with a 30-16 win over the Chicago Bears. Quick turnaround. And they're headed down to Miami to take on the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. And we shall see whether or not Lamar Jackson gets the start. But Tyler Huntley got the start yesterday. So on the other side, we'll take a look at the performance of number five, the starting quarterback. It looked weird to see number five on someone else yesterday playing quarterback. Monday morning quarterback on the Fan.
It's great in the way that Tyler played, you know, and I think gives us a lot of confidence, but we already had a lot of confidence. You know, when we brought him back, I mean, he and I had a phone conversation during training camp, you know, at some point, and maybe it was after training camp. I don't remember exactly when it was. Was it training camp? During training camp. And he was actually working out, and we talked about the possibility of this happening, And we talked about, you know what, if it does come to fruition, you're gonna win football games. You could win a football game for us, right? And here we are. You know, it's one of those things that you just really couldn't ever predict, but hey, hey, things work sometimes.
John Harbaugh has some Buck Showalter in him. You know what I mean by that? He says he's ask a question.
You mean he asks you a question when you ask a question?
And then answers. No, like he said, he did this during training camp. Was it training camp? Yeah, it was training camp. You knew it was training camp. Yeah. That's a Buck Showalter trait. Buck would ask himself a question and then answer the question.
Buck would also ask you a question after you did. You'd ask him about, you know, the bullpen and something. He goes, what would you do? What would you do about
that? I love when he does that, though, because he's just, again, like with the bullpen. Oh, we don't need to get into that. It's a damn Monday morning quarterback. Orioles got a new manager, but anyway.
Tyler Huntley, 17 of 22, 186, touchdown, no interception, 116.9. Passer rating, Mike Preston, your thoughts on his performance yesterday?
I thought he played within the scheme of what he needed to do as far as running the football, opening up the field, having those options. The quarterback draws were open. I didn't think he was exceptional, but I think he played within himself. And actually played like I thought he had played a couple years ago. Did enough to win, to keep them honest. And he threw a couple of deep balls. And again, it goes back to game planning, where you have to take some shots. You have to explore opportunities and see what happens. And that's what he did.
You know, Jeremy, Mike is like the offensive lineman that played in front of me. They just want the quarterback to work the system. Don't get outside yourself. Don't try to win the game. Just work the system. Long. It's a check down. Throw the check down. Yeah. Why are you waiting to throw it deep?
You ain't gonna be a hero.
The deep guy will be open in a second. We don't have a second.
We don't have a wasted down.
Throw a check down. That's Mike Preston.
And let your five fat guys beat up their five fat guys, and you win.
That's a lot.
It's
very simple.
Quarterbacks don't win games. Offensive linemen win games when you talk to offensive linemen.
Of course.
It's true. I wish I had something to throw at him. I don't have anything.
You already threw that question at me this morning. It got me started.
Hey, your thoughts on Tyler Huntley's performance yesterday?
I thought he looked better than just
than what Mike said.
Go ahead.
I mean, I thought he was better than playing within the system. I thought he looked pretty damn good, and I think he fits this team better than Cooper Rush because.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lamar. I already got one of those.
No, you idiot. Go away. Sorry.
No. Hey, but I think because of Lamar, he fits it better because, yeah. You know, you have the designed run at the end of the game where it was not a broken play. It was designed for him to take off, you know, to his left. He looked good. I mean, his quarterback rating was 117. He ran for, how much did he run? For 53 yards.
On eight carries.
Yeah. No, he looked damn good, man. 6.5 yards a carry. I thought he did real well.
So he looked better than pedestrian.
He was better than pedestrian.
Okay. You know.
I'm not impressed.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Mike's point, like, they won. It was their second win of the season. We do grade him on a curve, but he didn't do anything extravagant. He did everything he was supposed to do. I don't think there was anything great about it, but, like, maybe I am grading him on a curve. They won the game, and he didn't turn the ball over.
He's Lamar Jackson, but when Lamar's right. out, I mean, in your head, I think everyone's putting a big L up there, saying, well, there we go, season's done, we're done, forget it, go home. And it didn't happen that way. He actually, you know,
he had
did
presence.
A good job yesterday.
He had presence. Yeah. That's the first time I've seen him really with presence. I think that's one of the things he lacked.
I'm waiting for Mike to change.
Like one of the few, there was only one person on the staff of the Sun who picked the Bears to win the game. Everyone else kept saying, no, he's going to win because that's what they do. They run the football. They can beat the Bears. And Chicago had two cornerbacks who were starters who did not play in that game. They took advantage of him, and they did what they were supposed to do.
So that contributed to his passing success then?
Oh, of course. When you don't have two starters in the game, what are you kidding me?
By the way, to be fair, though,
it's funny when the Ravens didn't have 11 starters, nobody gave them any quarter. Yeah.
But to Mike, they dropped two of the easiest interceptions you might see. Like the one he threw, great play by the defensive back. It's like, whoa, what were you looking at there?
Are you talking about Huntley's passes?
Yes. Yeah, he had two that should have easily been picked off.
And one of them should have been a pick six because there was nobody on the outside. I remember those, but we forget
those.
Was
that Byer dropped it?
Yes, because we had a quarterback rating of 116.8. Let's not fool ourselves.
Let's just you and I do a sideshow. You know what I mean?
Because evidently, I mean, I'll talk
this whole thing
with Mike.
Is a sideshow.
Evidently, we are seeing.
I'll talk shop with Mike. There's a reason why Kevin Byard's a safety. Because he's got hands like feet. He can catch a damn ball.
That was major league, too, man. He's gone.
He looked at his hands like, you let me down.
That's like lacrosse players always look at their stick. Oh, it's the stick's fault. No, it's your fault because you can't catch it, dummy.
Tennis players with their rackets.
Baseball players with their gloves.
Infield of the gloves, yep.
Infield of the glove. Like, looking like there's a hole in it.
I actually saw someone change their glove after the inning. And I'm like, is there a hole in it? Nah, man. So you just that damn glove. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike? Doing right. Well. Evidently, we're doing better than Tyler Huntley. Ask Mike.
Hey, look. Let me tell you, this is not like I'm jumping on the bandwagon. Stuff I've been saying all along. For one, I didn't understand why they went out and got Cooper Rush. I mean,
because Tyler Huntley was on another team. I thought when they got Cooper Rush,
he probably was. But I'm saying. As far as, you know, when Lamar goes down, I mean, of course, nobody can replace him. But, I mean, this Cooper Rush guy, I'd be in a rush to get him out of town. And secondly, I thought that they should have played Tyler, you know, in the beginning when Lamar got hurt. You know, he would have gave us a better chance of winning. But
what,
I'm just glad,
again,
you know,
wasn't Tyler on somebody else's team?
I think Lamar got hurt.
No, I thought he was on our practice squad, wasn't he?
He was on the practice squad.
But he got cut from another team.
Right,
and they
after
put him
he got cut from Cleveland.
Yeah, he got cut. Oh, yeah, okay. but this was all after the fact, yeah.
Was it Cleveland?
Yeah, but like yes. I said, you know, like when the ball goes down, of course the quarterback play goes down. But I was just so happy either way that Todd Huntley, the way that Tyler played.
If he was white, it'd be Todd Huntley.
And also, this is also what I've been saying for weeks. Nobody listened. I talked to myself. I don't understand why Keaton Mitchell wasn't activated, or you know, on the times when he wasn't activated, and when he is there, why they don't, you know, go to him. And yesterday, you seen, you know, things he can bring to us.
The reason nobody listened to you on that, because we all said it. we all said that from week one. And why, Mike, is he not on the team? Nobody understood why.
And to be fair to Mike, sometimes you talk to yourself because you're the only one that understands what you're saying, man.
That is very true. And then you start answering yourself. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Well, we said nobody's listened to me on the Keaton Mitchell thing. We all wondered why Keaton Mitchell wasn't on the team at the beginning of the
last
season.
Week we were talking about Quinnen Williams, sneezing and then saying, bless you. And then he thanked himself. And then Rob did it later on the show. We lied. He went, shoo, bless you. Thank you. While I'm over here talking, and I just couldn't stop laughing, man.
I say thank you, but Ed knows I don't ever say you're welcome.
Is that true? Is that what he says? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I've never thanked him for a damn thing.
I never realized that he pointed it out. Well, he said, do you ever say you're welcome? I said, yeah. He said, no, you don't.
Oh.
So what'd I say?
By the way, I did say thank you to Rob once. Remember when you gave me that Mother's Day gift?
For your wife.
Yeah, so it's like one of those video pictures things where the pictures keep rolling around. My wife made the mistake of giving me the password to loading.
Oh.
So I uploaded a picture, the one that guy made of me and Barry Wood in the bathtub.
Oh, that's nice.
So, like, we're sitting there in my kitchen and my family's over, and then there's this beautiful, sweet picture of me and Mo, like me hugging him, taking a picture with him. And right next to it, as it pops up, is me and Barry Wood in the bathtub, to which somebody goes, hey, were you taking a bath with a big black dude over there? Yes.
Oh, why?
I love it.
The way that you are. Jay in Baltimore. What's up, Jay?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Jeremy, I asked you a couple of weeks ago, what's the odds of Zach Orr staying here? And my question still stands, but is it me, or does it look like his defense always looks good when we're winning? And once we're winning, that's when it looks like his defense is doing great, his scheme's great. I still think he still should be gone, even though they won, and I guess they did a little better. But
do you mean they look good when they're playing ahead, Jay? Because...
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
The only time their defense seems to look good is when we have a lead. Once we got a lead, it seems like the light clicks on for him. And
like
he
they're
knows
playing
what
with more confidence or something. Yeah. Or, you know, like the thing.
They look good when we're winning, and that's not, you know, people be like, well, they're front runners.
So they look good twice this year, and they look bad five times.
Yeah, I think they're going to look, good, or they're going to win because they look good, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's reversed. Maybe they actually won a game because they played better.
You look real good today.
Yes, I look good.
I feel like he's trying to get to the point of, should Zach Orr be here? There have been so many people. Remember, when Monken got thrown under the bus, so many people are like, Zach Orr is doing all the right things. He's putting these guys in position. The phone call to Mike McDonald last week, like, hey, what should I do, coach of other team? It's like, what? That's what's going on? But I know you pick the brain of other people that have been here and then the relationships you put together. But again, that's what we've been hearing is like the players are saying it's all on the players. They're in the right spots or he's putting them in the right spots. They're just not executing. And maybe that's true, but how did it happen in back-to-back years? Yeah. How did you fix it the second half of last season? Because it wasn't just health.
Preston's report card at 7:30, but on the other side, we go around the National Football League Week 8 up next on the...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Preston's report card at 7:30, but right now we go around the National Football League. Jeremy Kahn, tell me all about Kirk Cousins' first start of the year.
Oofa!
You like that?
No. And it wasn't like it wasn't all his fault. What happened to we talk about this in fantasy football all the time when you have a chalk player, what weird things that happen. Bijan Robinson was in one of the best spots if you look at what Cleveland just did to Miami the week before. Miami, one of the worst teams against the run, and then they knuckled up and showed up. I don't know who farted on Tua's pillow to make his eye swell up. Did you see that? So he had the visor on, his eye was... So they were all putting their hands over their left eye and giving him his little signal whenever they scored. But that's a big win for Miami after everybody saying that they quit on their coach, which I still think they did, but... Atlanta, who are you?
Certain individual pride goes on. Jets pick up the first win of the year, Ed. I gave you that one on purpose.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, they're now 1-7, so we're in the playoff hunt.
Did you hear Fields talking about outside noise? The owner saying he sucked. That's outside noise.
I don't know if that's quite what that means, but okay. I got to give it to them. That was a good win because... and I picked the Jets. I just had a feeling they were going to beat the Bengals because it's one of those, you know, they're due. Like, the Jets had a win eventually. I couldn't believe they go winless. They have too much talent on the team. But they did. And they put they had 23 points in the fourth quarter.
Yes, awesome.
I mean, that's a nice win for them. Breece Hall had a big day, 133 yards, two touchdowns on the ground. Fields had a good day. They just have some, they have some talented people on that team. I don't know what the hell's going to happen with them. But I'm just glad, glad they finally won one, and they did it on the road too. So good win for them.
Drake May is better than I thought he was would be, and that's why the New England Patriots are better than I thought they would be. 32-13 over the Cleveland Browns, giving the Browns their sixth loss of the year. Thank you very much. As the Patriots now go on to 6-2, they are having an outstanding season, and I'm telling you, everyone had the. Buffalo Bills winning the East might be the New England Patriots. Jeremy, fly eagle fly.
Yeah, I called this one. I said when I opened up the spreads, I looked at the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Saints. And you can have me talk about the Saints game later because I want to punt that damn thing in the sun. But
Saquon?
Yeah, Saquon starts off the game saying, remember when y'all said I couldn't have 100 yards and I didn't have one all year with a, what was that, a 65-yard touchdown run or 70-yard, whatever it was. And then he was so good. But got hurt in the game. So we'll have to see what that means for the Eagles, who already had A.J. Brown sitting out. Dalton Kincaid. Dallas Goedert. Sorry. Thinking of white tight ends with weird names. Very white names. Dalton and Dallas, get over here. He had two touchdowns in the game and a really cool moment afterwards where they were interviewing Dallas Goedert after the game and Shane Gillis walks by. Go Birds! You know, so, but a big win for the Eagles now to kind of separate themselves in that conference.
Bills, big win. They destroyed the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, this is almost a keep it moving game.
Well, it is. I mean, there's not much you can talk about here. I mean, they beat them 40-9. They sacked Andy Dalton seven times.
Seven.
And his passer rating of, you know, 70.7. Again, but not much to say here. The Bills just kicked their ass. 40-9, sacked. The red water pistol seven times. Not too much going on here.
Houston Texans, winners of three of the last four after dropping the first three games of the year. They're now 3-4. C.J. Stroud looks like he's back. 30 of 39, 318 yards, two touchdowns. I love that kid. I hope, you know, I don't pull for his team, but I think he's an outstanding young quarterback. With right pieces around him, looked good yesterday against the 49ers, who now dropped to 5-3 on the year. Bucks Saints, Jeremy.
Yeah, man.
This game you wanted to punt in the end zone?
This is the one that pissed me off. They start off the game, basically the Saints are moving down the field, and here comes Spencer Rattler running for a first down, and somebody clobbers him from behind. I wonder if the competition committee is going to look at how these – you can't touch a player's helmet, you can't touch their face mask, but by God, if you're behind them, you can punch them in the damn face. You can come across and punch as hard as you want, clothesline a guy. It doesn't matter because they have the ball. And he coughs up the ball. Tampa Bay should have had two defensive touchdowns. There was an errant whistle. And, I mean, you just put your team in the hole. And then all of a sudden, here it goes. Spencer Rattler, you're not playing well. Let's go to Tyler Shaw. He sucked. And the Saints lose that game. What a pisser that was, man. It's unbelievable. Like how. And look, the Bucks have... We've sat here and talked about it where the Bucks have just been so good in these tight moments. And Baker, give him all the credit in the world, man. If you ask me who the MVP is, I understand it's hard to get away from Pat Mahomes and Daniel Jones and what they've done. I don't think anybody's been better in clutch moments than him this year.
No, I agree with you. What about the Broncos-Cowboys game, Ed?
I just think they... I watched that game, actually. I don't know if you guys caught it, but it was it was not even...
Got ugly.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I mean, the Broncos pulled out the Orange Crush uniforms, and they were consistent. They scored in every quarter, put up 44 points. And this was one of those things, I don't know what to think of Bo Nix. I don't know what to think
of him. I don't like him.
I mean, he threw about 250 yards and four touchdowns yesterday.
I like
him. I know the Cowboys' defense is terrible.
You didn't like him.
I've never liked him.
Still don't?
I mean, I think I saw some things last year where it's like, yeah, maybe I need to apologize. And then I watch another game and going, let's wait on that a little bit.
I like him. Wow, I think
he's been at, like, again, the four touchdowns, that's great, but that was like one of those, if you watch the beginning of the game, and I know you saw it, like, it was a tight game. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you blinked and you went, what happened? Like, it's the same thing that happened in the, it was that game, the, what was the game that you just talked about? Oh, the Bills game. It was like, you know, it's a close game, 14-3, 10 to whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you blinked and it was a blowout.
Yeah. Speaking of blowout, Colts blew out the Tennessee Titans. Jonathan Taylor, 153 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. He could maybe be a guy that flirts with the MVP from
the
non-quarterback position.
Receiving as well.
Receiving as well, yeah. What's his fourth game with three or more touchdowns? He's having a sensational season. Jeremy Packer, Steelers.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick. I actually missed the second half of this game, but from what I'm told, I didn't miss much as the Steelers got it handed to them in the second half. Packers come in, a big win for them. Aaron Rodgers all friendly and giving hugs to Jordan Love, but Love outplayed him.
Yeah. Preston's report card at 7:30. Don't go anywhere. I know you're waiting for that. But on the other side, bite me sounds from a post-game press conference. Happy John up next on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.